For today, we have John's take on the empty tomb. All right? So it's Easter Sunday. It's before dawn, so I figure, about 5 a.m. Mary Magdalene sees that the tomb is mysteriously open. She doesn't find Jesus there, so she runs back and she tells Peter and John, the beloved disciple, and the two of them immediately race and run to the tomb. John, he's the quiet one, he gets to the tomb first. He doesn't go in. He just stops at the entranceway and kind of peeks in. In the meantime, Peter catches up with him. He barges into the tomb, looks around and sees the burial cloths, and makes some kind of fuss. That last part isn't in the scriptures. It just seems like something he'd do. So after he has his fuss, I assume, then John, the beloved disciple, goes into the tomb, wordlessly looks around, and he gets it. John is pretty much the first person to piece together that Christ had risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene was close. She was close, but her first assumption was that someone simply stole the body. So she needed just a little more time. And Peter wasn't even close. This is Easter Sunday in a nutshell. An empty tomb, some circumstantial evidence by way of the burial cloths folded nicely in the corner, and some disciples with various degrees of faith and understanding. Now, before we move on to the main point, we just need to take a little time to refresh ourselves on that first reading. If you don't remember right away, it was from Acts of the Apostles, and it's a short speech by Peter, well after Easter Sunday. It's Peter saying that it is the task of apostles like him to proclaim that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And Peter knows that's his task because Jesus, after being risen from the dead, made himself visible to Peter and some others. So that first reading is a testament of Peter's faith after seeing the risen Lord. Here's the main point. All of us at least partially share in Peter's faith on one end of the spectrum, and we at least partially share in John's faith on the other end of the spectrum. For Peter, he was very involved in the world. He cared deeply about things. He had great passion and empathy. But he was easily distracted, and he didn't always think things through as quickly as he could have. So that's just who he was. And that means that Peter was the kind of guy who needed a hint every once in a while. In the context of Easter Sunday, the empty tomb just wasn't enough for him. For Peter, he needed to see Jesus one more time. He needed to hear Jesus ask him, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." But you know what? Once he got that little nudge in the right direction from God, he was all set. He lived the rest of his life for Christ. He needed no reward, no fame, because Christ was enough. Now John, on the other hand, he was quiet, considerate, calm, and insightful. He didn't really have the enthusiasm of Peter, but he made up for it with thoughtfulness and meekness. So John didn't need a hint. John did not need a hint. He looked into that tomb, he saw the burial cloths, he put it together, and he got it because he knew Jesus that well. And to be fair, it's important to mention that John didn't really lead a community in the way Peter did. For John and a few of his disciples, they were called to a simple life of prayer, thankfulness, and communal living. So all of this comes down to the fact that Peter and John are different people. They needed different things from Jesus, and they did different things for Jesus. out of love for Jesus. Both of them very doubtlessly loved Christ, but in different ways, simply because they're different people. So I said before that we almost certainly favor one or the other. For me, at least, I skew very heavily in the direction of Peter. First of all, it's because I feel like my faith is at its best when it's active, when I am doing something in the service for another. That is a very Peter-like attitude. I'm also like Peter because I also need a hint from time to time. I need help. I can't always piece it together on my own. And lucky for me, God actually does smack me upside the head every once in a while and help me put things in perspective. I am not necessarily talking about a big booming voice in the sky. While I certainly believe that happens from time to time, that is not the only way God speaks to us. When I'm talking about hints from God, I'm simply talking about life making the correct path to take more obvious in your sight. Sometimes we can't work that out ourselves. Sometimes we need the help from someone or something. Now, on the other hand, you live out the faith of John when you are stable in your friendship with God, when you are steady in your faith when the waves of the world's chaos are crashing all around you. Well, that's not Peter. I mean, Peter was not that stable. John was the stable one. He was the confident one. He was the meek one. So if you've got that, that is the spirit of John, the beloved disciple, at work in your heart. So just one quick thing before we move on. If you're like John, it is important that you're willing to take a hint from time to time. Because sometimes we think we've got everything figured out when God clearly has need of us in some other place. Peter was very often confused at the beginning, but Peter always gets there in the end. Peter always arises to the truth in the end because he has the ability to take a hint. And that is a good quality to have in life. And likewise, if you're like Peter, it's important to have at least a portion of John's attitude. Because you know what? There are times in life where we're not going to get those hints that we so desperately want to receive. Sometimes God is going to challenge us, and we need to get through it without any hand-holding. And you know what I mean if you're the sort of person that likes puzzle games or riddles. Because with those sorts of things, you know perfectly well, you achieve nothing and you learn nothing if you don't work out the solution on your own. All right? There is a huge difference between being told the answer and finding the answer. So every once in a while, we need to take John's example, we need to trust in the Lord, and we need to work out where God wants us without too many hints. It is Easter Sunday. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Where do we go from here? All of us, and I mean all of us, share in that victory of Christ over sin and death. And we all share in the responsibility of bringing that grace of God's gospel to where it is needed most. All right? So in spite of all of our diversity, that is what unites us. No matter who you are or where you come from, the skills and talents you have, the skills and talents you don't have, the quirks of your personality, the attitude that makes you you, no matter who you are still united in the victory of Christ. And we all share in that task to bring goodness into the world by whatever means we have available to ourselves.